For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Looking for an opening, and now hits the hole, and he's through it. And it's another 9 yards. Fumble on the play, though. And it's picked up by Buffalo at the 36-yard line. It's Buffalo football. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. Fakes the handoff, rolls to his right, looking to pass, now gets hit as he throws, and it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season goes for a touchdown. So let's go over. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, some behind the scenes of this open that Josh Schmidt put together. He said he went for the memes. So for those of you that are old, older than me, because I know this one, there's
the,
a guy.
The meme?
The guy on Instagram.
What you guy know, on Instagram?
Right? Is that what you're talking about, the guy on Instagram?
Well, this song itself has just become a meme.
Right, but there's a guy on Instagram whose entire account is watching something happen and then saying, yes, yes, and then he sings, Can You Take Me Higher?
I have not seen this
guy.
It's kind
of funny. It's his whole bit.
He's probably seen this song meme.
He's probably made $30 million just doing this.
It's a great bit.
Yes.
It's a great bit.
So it's kind of like on the Dudes Rock level of memes.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Just me explaining stuff to the older people there. Joe, that's what I do. A couple follow-ups.
By the way, Mr. Brightside is on... that was my first time in the stands doing it that I can remember. And it was like... They had the lead, too, which was
so
huge.
It's not the start of the fourth quarter. It's when they feel like the right moment, I guess.
No, it was at the end of the... because it was in the middle of the fourth.
It was the middle of the fourth.
And they had the lead. So maybe was that important to them?
Maybe.
Doing it?
It's also worth pointing out they had the lyrics on the screen on the Jumbotron. And... at one point, when there's the musical interlude, the words on the screen said air guitar solo, which I appreciated
air
very
guitar?
Much. Yeah, like it's not a guitar. It's like...
it's a guitar.
So the killer says sounds, it sounds like lasers, keyboards. Anyway, also following up, the Lockheed C5 Galaxy flyover.
Massive.
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 Not only that, we got a bunch of flyovers. That thing flew over like five times.
Yeah. They got here early, I think.
Yeah, it kept circling. And... it had a call sign, if you missed this part. The call sign for it on like FlightAware and all the apps was Mafia 17.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I sent a message to our buddy, Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook, who joined us this week to talk about it. So, like, can you get the ground crew saying that? Are there recordings of them saying, like, clear Mafia 17? Like, if so, I'm just saying we could use that.
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be a cool thing to do. Also, one more recap from the game.
Okay, go ahead.
Most famous attendee.
Not George Wilson.
No, George Wilson was the legend of the game.
He did pretty well, by the way.
Yep.
Most famous attendee. Who was at the game? I saw Harry Douglas was at the game and Steve Levy.
Okay.
Ran into them because they were doing the national broadcast.
ESPN, I believe. Yep.
National radio.
Yep.
More famous than Harry Douglas and Steve Levy.
I'm gonna go with yes. More famous than Harry Douglas.
Was Shooter McGavin at the game? He comes to a Bills game.
This person is also more famous. I don't know.
More famous than Shooter McGavin?
That's gonna be a close one.
That's not also Shooter McGavin's real name. So
no,
maybe
that's right.
Okay. Al Pacino.
less famous than Al Pacino?
Less famous than Al Pacino.
I mean, you never know with these international stars. There was an international star there.
Robert Duvall.
What a guess that is.
I mean, Robert Duvall is more famous than Harry Douglas and less than Al Pacino. I'm in the middle ground here.
Yeah, you're still nowhere close.
Isn't Robert Duvall American, though? He said international.
I said international star. By international star, I mean someone famous around the world.
Oh, I thought you meant like...
Was Daniel Ricciardo at this game?
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Danny Rick was in attendance at the game. Said first Bills game. He had a Go Bills helmet on. He's in the tailgate lots.
I don't think he's more famous than Shooter McGavin.
Danny Rick?
I don't think he's more... Well, what are we doing
again?
Here? Are we doing internationally?
You're asking me if he's more famous than a fictional character?
Right. Is that cheating? The actor,
I mean, is Daniel,
no one, who's the, what's the actor's name?
Who's more famous, Daniel Ricciardo or Frodo?
Christopher McDonald.
You know, like, you can't quite do it with a fictional character.
Right. Who's more famous, Daniel Ricciardo or Darth Vader?
Right. Fair.
All right. No, use the character, though. That's probably close.
It's right.
Because Ricardo's going to win every country outside the United States, probably.
Maybe.
Does Happy Gilmore travel international waters? Is it big in, like, Australia? That's where he's from, right, Ricardo?
He is, yeah. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out, too. Hey, it's Buffalo Bills Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
I have one more observation from the game. Did you see the video? So you know where I was sitting, right? Like, the corner of the end zone, like, where Matt Collins scored.
Okay.
So by the, like, M&T Bank, like, the big glass, whatever, the box there. So I am straight on with the new stadium. And it is so tall.
Yeah.
It is tall. Like, it is, you see it the whole game. It is in your peripheral. Like, it is staring you in the face the whole game, how massive it is. And I think I said this last week. Maybe this will be true every week going forward. Last week I said that was the biggest change in the stadium that I'd seen. Like, for, like, wow. Like, look how different it looks since the last time I saw it. And I would say that it won up that this week because the overhang is, like, very clearly, like, put together now.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. When I showed my wife that Daniel Ricciardo was at the game, that was a terrifying moment for me. I almost lost her. She was almost gone. She's going to go find Daniel Ricciardo. And for a moment, I thought, she's gone forever.
She's probably in one of those suites, right?
Well, he was like in Hammer's Lot when the picture I saw.
So maybe he was just going right into the belly of the beast.
There you go. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is one stat, very easy stat that you all out there would know. But this is how casual winning is for the Bills and for Bills fans. When we talked to Chris Brown at 8:30 and he's like, oh yeah, fourth straight win. I was like, oh yeah, it is four straight wins.
Yeah.
Win streaks are just like, yeah. Man, what about it? Oh, I forgot. I wasn't even counting.
Right.
It's like if you were to tell Tiger Woods, hey, Tiger, you've got 9 pars in a row. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess. Like, the Bills getting 4 wins in a row is like, yeah, what of it? So a credit to them. And also 7-2, the best start in a McDermott season. Ties their best start in McDermott season.
That's wild.
Than 2020.
They never gone 7-2?
Right. Well, it's 2020 they were 7-2.
2020 they were 7-2.
They're off in 6-3.
Yeah.
So... 803-0550. Let's buzz through some phone calls. And for those of you that someone wrote in, who is Daniel Ricciardo? F1.
That person probably knows who Shooter McGavin is.
That's right. F1 driver.
Yeah.
And
not even a regular F1 driver anymore, though?
I don't think he's on the circuit right now. He doesn't have a car. But he's also one of Josh's good friends.
Like, he's a free agent F1 driver.
Yes. He became good friends with Josh.
He's like the Ryan Tannehill of F1.
That's about right. Yeah. That sounds right. Scott in Rochester. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Solid win yesterday. You know, another game you were supposed to win. And good to see Tyler come through in the clutch. But my issue has been the way this team is starting on offense, especially at home. If you think back to the Tennessee game, they started the same way. They come out and they go run. So when you're at home, I don't think anything sucks the life out of the crowd more than starting on offense run. Especially when it's 60 degrees out, there's no wind, and it's a beautiful day, and you have Josh freaking Allen. Let's change up the run philosophy to start the home games. Let's let him, like, fling the ball a little bit. Let's get the crowd into the game. Let's stop with this. It's just been 2 weeks in a row, run. It's driving me crazy. I don't know about you guys. I'm sure there are a lot of other people that feel the same way. But when it's an elite fall day, there's no sideways snow, there's no sub-zero temperatures. Let's get it going. Let's get the offense going. Let's throw the ball. Let's do something other than coming out and going run, run into the big men in the line. That's all I got.
Yep. Scott, I tend to be with you. Perfect day to rip it open against the Dolphins. They go run for four, run for minus one, and then deep left to Kincaid incomplete, and it's a punt. Which feels like run, run deep to Kincaid has been a opening drive multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, I think ultimately I want to make sure that I'm saving that take for the playoff game. When they play the Chiefs, are they running to keep Mahomes off the field? You just can't. I don't want to be there. Why is Baltimore right now look the best? And maybe they won't win. Maybe Baltimore will lose. They've lost three games. They lost to the Browns. But their offense is a wagon.
Yeah, they look like they have games where their offense looks like there's just nothing you could possibly
elite
do.
Running, yeah. Elite passing. Lamar had a perfect quarterback rating yesterday.
Yeah, I guess they're keeping track of this. This is an NFL record. He tied the record for most games in his career with as many passing touchdowns as incompletions. Yesterday he had 3 touchdown passes and 3 incompletions the whole game.
He was great.
Yeah, they're unstoppable. And Zay Flowers is like really taking a step forward. Like he's got huge numbers. He has 100 yards, I think, in 4 of his last 5 games. Zay Flowers does. Like he's looking like a number one. Maybe that's made easier to him because Lamar and Henry, you have to pay so much attention to him in the backfield. That Broncos defense is like a top 5 unit in the league.
Very good.
And they looked like they had no problem at all. The Bills are a good defense, right? They usually get the worst out of you.
The Bills this year, I think, are an average defense.
An average defense?
I think they are an average defense
year. They made a pretty
easy usually
time of it.
Top 5, top 7. This year, it's a bit of a transition year, if you will. Right? This is still a transition year for a lot of things, but they're good while transition from one leadership council to the next and one group of players to the next. And we're seeing players start to come through that, who the next set of great players is. But what's their DVOA right now? The percentage of drives that they... there's a lot of different ways to measure defense. You could go in yards or scoring, but that's all game script. What about success rate? What about how often you force punts, your true turnover rate, all that? I think they're in the middle. They give up long drives. In this game against Miami, they gave up a bunch of long drives. And, talking about potential trade deadline acquisitions, edge rusher for setting the edge in the run game. That's something Chris Brown brought up with us. We brought it up with Sal as well. Like, is there a defensive end that is going to help your run game? So, Eric Turner of Cover One tweeting out, Vaughn made a bunch of plays late in the run game. Your defensive ends are... especially in this defense, the way they play, your defensive ends are more than just getting after the quarterback. It's, can you help them stop the run game?
I think they're better. They're actually better in DVOA than I thought they would have been.
Defensively?
Defensively, DVOA right now, they're 7th in the NFL. Yeah. And actually, this is weird. 9th against the pass, 3rd against the run. Does that seem right at all? That they would be the 3rd best? No, nobody today would say that.
No.
So... That's where Aaron Schatzlite, FTN Fantasy, those got. The Bills, the 3rd best rushing DVOA team, defensive rushing team. They also have them number 2, by the way, on offense. 2nd best offensive DVOA team. So I don't know. Really, I guess the rushing thing, has it only been a couple bad games? Has it been a week-to-week thing? Seattle did nothing running the ball last week.
Nothing.
At all.
Did Houston run very much? I mean, they lost to Houston, and I don't think it was on the ground.
No, they didn't do much
on
the ground.
They lost because of one big play over the top. And
so, I wonder, this has kind of been a thing, though, with the Bills. Like, they have 2-3 games every year. This goes way back into McDermott. It's kind of the way they play. There's a couple games every year where it's like, guys, look, they lost because they got torched on the ground. But does it really happen every week?
Well...
is it really like a recurring problem? Did the Jets run the ball great against the Bills?
No, they didn't. They did. They did have success against the Bills. Breece Hall had one of his better games against the Bills. What I would say about all this and the rushing defense conversation is we always look at the Bills and the Chiefs like it's Allen v. Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
And each year it's about, can you beat them? Can you stop them? This, to me, is a different kind of test they'll play the Colts this week. But then when they get to Kansas City, I don't know right now that I like their chances to beat the Chiefs.
You don't?
I don't. I think it looks a lot like the playoff game. But we'll see. I got to know, is Coleman healthy? Is Cooper healthy? Is Benford healthy? Like, right now they have some significant injuries.
Don't you think the Chiefs, though, are going to play the Bills like the Bills played the Chiefs in the playoff game?
Well, to a point, what the Chiefs do well right now is something the Bills allow, which is they run for 5 yards. They lead the league going into the week, lead the league in runs of 4 to 9 yards. They're not an explosive run team. They will grind you into dust. That's kind of what they are. And if their passing game comes around, look out. But that's just what they are. I saw maybe Brett Coleman talking about this, Underdog Fantasy, that what the Chiefs do is they never move backward. Yeah. Their offense is a vice that only goes one way. And while it might not be the most explosive and the most exciting, that's what they're going to do to you. Everything is forward. And the way this Bills defense plays against the run, I think it's very possible that they could just look exactly like that. And we're coming out of that game where the final score is 21-20 and Mahomes threw for like 160. And it's just a low event game. These teams have also played low event games where we think they're always going to be the 13-second shootout, and instead it's 24-20 with long possession-based drives. And the Bills want to play that game too, do they not? At home,
they act like they do.
They played that game in the playoff game, and we said it was because the injuries on defense. They needed to keep the defense off the field. Like, all right, we'll see. I think it's a different kind of test this time around with the Chiefs. Russ in New Jersey. I'm eager to watch them tonight to see what they look like against Tampa, who can't stop anybody in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Russ, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you? It's funny. I met Bruce Smith in the summer, and he told me he knows who I am. He just says, this year they're going to take a step back. That's why it's been more enjoyable. I don't think, you know, people thought they would take a step back from people they lost, but they've, you know, they're playing well, and it definitely helps the division's not that good. I have two questions for you. And I'll make one comment on the Kansas City thing. You know, the Kansas City thing you guys just spoke about. With Hopkins coming in there, that makes such a difference, not just because he's there for himself, but because it opened it up. Last week you saw Kelce have a big game. So, you know, that offense that didn't have anybody that was a great receiver just picked up a premier receiver. But my two questions are, were you surprised or did you think the Dolphins would go for two? You might have spoken about it already. When they scored the tying touchdown, you know, you put a little more pressure on the Bills, and the way Josh Allen was going up and down the field, you thought if they don't score and he gets the ball first in overtime, the game's over. Because I thought maybe they'd put a little more pressure by going for the two, and, you know, they're down in the standings. And number two is, if you're voting for MVP today, I think Lamar still would, you know, probably number one. Goff's going to get up there somewhere, but Mr. Allen's got to be right up there with what he's done, you know, with this team. He doesn't have any big name receivers in there, and he just played tremendous, and he's limited the turnovers, unbelievable. Two interceptions, and the one yesterday was definitely not his fault. So those are my two things. Were you surprised the Dolphins didn't go for two, and the MVP voting?
There's no doubt. I mean, is the MVP favorite still? Is Lamar back up there? It's going to be between Lamar and Allen and maybe Derrick Henry if he gets to 2,000 yards, and maybe Goff if they go 16-1.
Depends where you look. Right now, like BetMGM, they're tied, Lamar and Allen. DraftKings, Lamar's the favorite. FanDuel, Allen's the favorite. Like, they're very close neck and neck. But it's those two, and then there's a gap.
Listen, we treat the MVP like a horse race. We didn't used to do that. If you want to treat it like that, you know when Allen jumps in front if they beat the Chiefs?
Yeah.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Go beat the Chiefs here. Give them their first loss in the national game.
For sure.
425, and then you're going to jump ahead in the MVP. On the other point, which was about
the 2-point conversion.
Yes,
I was surprised they didn't.
I'm not surprised they didn't. I would have absolutely done it. And if I'm a Dolphin fan or calling into a Dolphin show or hosting a Dolphin show, I'd say you should have gone for two. That team beats you every time you play one way or another. You have one play to get 2 yards.
Yeah.
You can pitch it out to Achan and get your 2 yards. I mean, if you see the Dolphins line up to go for two there, how do you feel? Like, if they pitch this to Achan, I think it's going to go in.
I'd be worried. I'd definitely be worried.
And maybe you still lose the game, but you give yourself a way to win it with one play from your stronger unit, which is your offense and your run game.
Isn't there something to hear about how your opponent then acts even if you miss it? Like, play out the next Bills drive.
Do they run?
Well, maybe they go run.
You have as Miami, I think you have 2 timeouts. Is the 2-minute warning?
Yeah.
No, you did the 2-minute warning. Gone. They would have run out the clock.
Well, I guess maybe this is the wrong starting point, but I was thinking, like, if the Bills had a 3rd and 9 the same way, but they were up 1, what do they do? They hand the ball off. They're not throwing a deep shot to Keon Coleman, are they? 3rd and 9, up 1. They're playing for the punt.
You're getting
the ball back, I think, if you're Miami, if you're down 1 versus if you're tied.
The Bills get the ball back there with 1:38 on the clock. Miami only had 2 timeouts. They would have kneeled it out. You could kneel out the clock, basically.
Okay.
Right? Do you need 1 first down in that case? Maybe.
Yeah, 1:38 on the clock. Yeah, I see what you mean. So, right, you would have third and...
You would have run it twice.
Whatever.
So, now I'm down to 1:26 on the clock.
So, at best, you're getting the ball back with like 35 seconds.
Yep.
No timeouts. Okay, so yeah, that's not really going to work.
And maybe things go differently. But
you might get the ball back, but you're still going to be a huge underdog to drive 60 yards
sure.
without a timeout and have time to kick a field goal.
Even if you miss it and you lose the game there, if I'm Miami, I would have gone for two. Like, hey, this is the Bill. Imagine Mike McDaniel getting up there in the post game. If they lose the game by giving up the kick,
he'd be given
so much credit. And if they lose the game on the 2-point conversion and he said, you guys say I got to beat a good team, I'm here to try to win this game. I came to win. And we put up a great performance. And it came down to, you want to take the lead with 1:38 left? Yes. He's going to get in range to get a score no matter what we do. He's incredible. He does it to us every time. I would have absolutely gone for two. 803-0550.
I saw an amazing stat of the day.
Oh, boy. What is it?
It's not Bills related. This is courtesy of Sarah York, who tweeted, the Chiefs won 2 Super Bowls between Daniel Jones' most 2 recent passing touchdowns at MetLife Stadium.
That's pretty good.
It's amazing. B-Caller 5 right now. No? Sorry, tailgate trivia. Tune into WGR each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question. That'll be on Bills game days by Game Day Hospitality. Your chance to win 2 VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone tailgate party. You get food, drink, entertainment, also access to the VIP tent. You can visit our contest page, WGR550.com, for details.
Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bombs away for Tyler Bass, who bombs it from 61! It's a career best for the Bills kicker, unbelievable!
Has time. Now locates Barkley out of the backfield. Barkley slips 2 tackles and picks up the first down. Jumping up in the air to the 30. A gain of 14 for Barkley with some nifty moves along the way.
Saquon Barkley, you ask, did he have to do that? Yes, he did.
I mean, it was cool. He got hosed on a fumble. Did you see that play?
Yes, I did.
Trayvon Walker returned it for a touchdown, and they let it stood, and it was so obvious that he got tripped.
He got tripped on the play, and the ground caused the fumble, and they didn't take it off the board. The Eagles,
they said he stumbled.
That's right. With that play, nearly started to... Well, that play contributed to them blowing the game. The Eagles tried very hard to blow that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like to root against the Eagles, so I was enjoying that briefly.
And now A.J. Brown's hurt, although he should be okay.
Yeah, they said he's okay. So, quick thing. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, just tweeted out Josh Allen's percentage of yards coming after the catch by season. 2021, 40% of yards come after the catch. 2022, 38%. 2023, 46%. 2024, 59%. The goal to shift Allen and this offense into a yak offense has definitely produced the results they want. Are they better for it? Debatable. They're good. They were good before. I looked up a few things on Allen because if you're in love with the yak numbers, that's totally fine. I'm not going to tell you not to be. It's just, I don't say like robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's just, you just took money out of one banana stand and put it in the different another banana stand. Allen, his ADOT is way down. How about this one? Completed air yards per completion. In his career, 6.7, 6.5, 6.8, 6.5, 7.5. Last year, 6.1. That's a half Brady year. Mm-hmm. This year, 5.0. He'd never been below 6.5.
And now he's at 5.
Now he's at 5. That's fine. I'm not saying there's any problem here, but just before it's, oh my goodness, they've done it. They just moved what he did. And if to you, getting more help was the throws are shorter, but the results are the same, well, then you're getting what you want. So I don't think it's any sort of wizardry or key to unlock. It's just a shift in offensive focus. And it is a shift in offensive focus that Ken Dorsey talked about wanting and never got. And now they do have it with Joe Brady's offense. So credit to Joe Brady for getting that done and for Allen and for the picks they've made. But I don't exactly...
Their personnel is more suited to do that in the first place.
I don't exactly go gaga for it just because at the end of the day, I don't care if you passed for 300 yards and they're all air yards or they're all yak yards.
Right.
Doesn't really matter much to me. And a few people in the comments of Steve Palazzolo's tweet about this have pointed out, and it's kind of funny, Bills fans used to dump all over Mahomes for being a yak guy. Oh, it's all yak. Yeah. It's all yak. And now that Allen does, it's like, I love it. So it just doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. If it matters to you, then that's okay. We can agree to have things matter to ourselves, whatever. 803-0550. Adam in Williamsville next up here on Victory Monday. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Happy Victory Monday. Glad to see the Bills pull off the win yesterday. Excited for Bass. He's been working his butt off, and glad to see he got that result finally. Just wanted to get your guys' opinion. You might have already touched on it. Is there any room for concern for our pass rush? Our pass rush percentage was pretty bad yesterday, and I think that at one point the Dolphins had like an 8-minute drive. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And with Vaughn coming off being sidelined for 4 weeks, I would have thought he would have had more of an impact and been a little more explosive. Wanted to get your opinions on that, and obviously the trade is coming up. The trade deadline is, I think, on the 5th there.
It's tomorrow.
Are you guys anticipating anything with that?
I would.
If you hear that, I'll hang up. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Adam. Sal asks it this way. If you put the over-under at a 0.5, would you take the over or the under? I'll take the over. I think they'll make a trade. It's very normal now for these teams to go for it a little bit. The Ravens made the trade for Deontay Johnson. The Steelers might make a trade. There's chatter about Darius Slayton or Mike Williams.
And there was something about how they were going to trade for Christian Kirk.
They wanted to, but he got hurt and broke his collarbone.
Yeah, so they're
going to
make
a move. The Chiefs traded twice already. Josh Uche. All these teams, there are 9 2-win teams right now.
Yeah.
And
they're all going to sell.
Well, they should all sell. And who has the guts to go straight to the bottom is really, I mean, if I'm one of those teams, I'd want to go straight to the bottom. Because all nine of those teams, maybe not all nine, what, six of them want quarterback? If the Patriots are... Listen,
yeah, I mean, the Patriots won't, but they'll want the pick so they can trade down and get a haul.
If the Patriots could find their way to the dead last spot, they'd be in such a good place. Because all these other 2-9 teams, the Saints, the Browns, and then they're different... The Raiders. These teams need a quarterback. And if you're the Patriots, you have Drake May and you're picking first. Like, who wants it?
Right. Yeah, right now, top two wouldn't. New England and Jacksonville, 1-2. They wouldn't want quarterbacks.
No.
New Orleans would.
Yep.
Carolina would.
Tennessee would.
Cleveland would. The Raiders would. The Giants would. The Dolphins, probably not. Titans would.
The Dolphins next.
And the Jets would.
Yeah, right.
But the Jets aren't going to be first. But that's every team but like the top two, basically, that would they'd want a quarterback.
On edge rush for the Bills.
I didn't notice them a lot yesterday, but Miami gets rid of the ball so quick, it's like...
It's a part of it.
They've done a better job, I think, than most teams at getting to Tua. Like, most teams can't really do it. You keep them down by doing other things.
They sacked him once, and it was a bad snap, and they got a little lucky.
Yeah, so there was a delay. Rousseau still beat his man immediately. But yeah, like, not the team I would typically want to, like, crush you if you don't get pressure against, because the ball is so quick out of their hands.
This week it's the Colts. The Colts bench Anthony Richardson, lose in Minnesota, and now play back-to-back weeks the Bills and Lions.
They couldn't do any. Did you watch that game yesterday?
Yeah.
They could not do anything on offense. Anything. And the coach said after the exact same thing that he said before he benched Richardson.
Right. Here's our quarterback for now. Colts from here. Bills, Jets, Lions, Patriots, Broncos, Titans.
Yeah.
Like, Indy's on their way to crashing and burning.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, which is why they should just put the young quarterback in. See what happens.
Peter in Massachusetts. Hey, Peter, good morning. You're on Victory Monday.
Good morning. Happy Victory Morning to you. Okay, I got three talking points I'd like to discuss. Number one need that I think we have to get before the trade deadline is a DT. Daquan is not getting it done. We need to stop the run if we're going to win the championship, and that's what we want. I mean, I would go all in. I would go for a Jeffrey Simmons or a Vita Vea or whatever it takes. That's what we need. Number two, Curtis Samuel doing nothing right now. A waste of a wide receiver spot. If he's hurt, put him on IR. That is a need right now, especially with Coleman out, you know. So that's something we should look at. And then point number three, you were talking about Josh for MVP and that run that got negated by a phony friggin' holding call. Everyone says that, and there was a phantom holding call the play before that. That was an MVP play if there ever was one. You know, I went to NFL.com. They don't have that replay. I want to see that run again. That was phenomenal, and it got wiped out the board by bad officiating, which consistently happens. Buffalo gets hosed every game. You know, we all watch the Bills. We see it happen time and time again. Bad calls happen to every team, but it happens in significant points of Bills games where it takes points off the board or extends drives for the opponent over and over again, where it consistently happens with KC. That is something I wish someone would just do a video montage of that and just show how bad these calls are. I understand they happen every game, but it's way too many happen to Buffalo, and KC gets way too many calls in their favor. I'll hang up and listen to your points. Thank you very much. Go Bills.
Thanks, Peter. I think you could find 32 montages claiming the officials were biased against the team, personally. But on the Curtis Samuel point, I don't really know what the plan is here. If he's not healthy, right, put him on IR and get somebody else. If he's healthy and unable to do anything, then, you know, we thought the receiver room was lacking. They trade for Cooper. Okay, Cooper's good. Coleman's come on quite a bit. Mac Hollins in spot duty. Shakir's awesome. Samuel is an important piece. He is all of their depth. He's supposed to be able to play inside or outside. Gadget guy, downfield guy. Last year he caught the ball down the field for Washington quite a bit. And the fact that nothing is happening there. Here's a question for you. What separates Curtis Samuel from Mike Edwards?
Well, the one difference might be Samuel actually gets on the field to run routes.
He does.
Yeah.
He has how many more catches than Mike Edwards? Is it six?
He's got 12 on the
12 end. Catches.
But how many were like...
He and Mike Edwards had the same number of targets yesterday. I guess he might have gotten one target.
Yeah. How many catches does Samuel have on the year where the play right from the design was not, we're getting him the ball to the line of scrimmage?
Right. Not a screen, but he ran a route and they threw it to him.
There was one against the Jet game.
I think there's two downfield shots to him. One in Miami he did not come up with.
Yep. He had a wheel route in the Arizona game in the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And is that it? He had 600 yards last year. Not like an all-world, all-pro player. He had 600 yards. He was a usable wide receiver.
And he's giving,
he had 851 when he was last with Joe Brady. What explains that he has 92
I don't know.
On the season?
And on Jeffrey Simmons, to your point, Peter, he's a $24 million cap hit, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I really still want to blame...
$21 million.
I really still think with Samuel, I just want to blame injury. It's too weird. It's too weird that you pay a player who was pretty good, his production like that craters compared to what he just was a year ago and what he was with your coach. What explains that? Injury would explain that. But he's on the field, which is what makes it weird.
Right. And is he on the injury report?
And he's been, well, he's been on and off the injury report.
That's right. Most recently, he was on it for a pectoral.
Right. And he did miss a game for that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a foot injury in training camp that you can wonder if that's still laboring.
Let's hope, because they might need him. 803-0550. We'll get a break in, come back, Extendo Sports, hand things off to Sal on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Victory Monday on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
How do you feel about Darius Slayton as a trade idea?
Love it. Giants might trade him. The Steelers are going after him, it appears.
Yeah. Wasn't our buddy Andrew Filippone tweeting about that a couple
minutes ago? Yes, because the Steelers don't have a sixth-round pick, so would they give a fifth?
If that's the price.
A fifth?
Well, a sixth. Like, if they're saying, we'll do it for a sixth, and the Steelers don't have a sixth,
mm-hmm.
and the Bills have a sixth. Don't the Bills have three sixths? They have a bunch of sixths, I think.
Well,
he is a deep threat, by the way.
Yeah. The Bills do not throw over the top all that often. Has there been a deep shot down the field since when?
MVS.
Right, in the opener? Is it the opener?
Isn't he better MVS, though?
Yes.
So, you know, you might like that. Someone that can stretch the field, even if you don't throw it to him that often.
Maybe they think Cooper can do that. We're going to see him more part of this offense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Manning cast tonight. Who are we getting? Atlanta, Kansas City.
Bucks.
Not Atlanta. Bucks,
Bucks and Chiefs.
Yeah.
Last week, the Steelers were on, and it was Cowher.
Did we get that right? We guessed Cowher, I think.
Maybe. Bucks and Chiefs. All right, if it's the Bucks, Trent Dilfer.
Tony Dungy.
Dungy's a good answer here.
Trent Dilfer is good, too.
But Dungy's
got Trent Dilfer coaching college football right now?
Yes. Dungy's on NBC. He's not going to go on the Manning cast.
They have guys from other networks.
That's right.
They?
Cowher was on. That's right.
Yeah. They've loosened up on ESPN a little bit with that. Of course, we'll get Belichick.
Yep.
Which is good.
The Sabres play tomorrow.
Who's that? The Sabres?
Yeah.
Yeah, tough weekend. Really tough weekend. Really tough weekend. I don't know what to do anymore with them.
If they lose to Ottawa, season's over?
Cousins is back at center. They'd be 4-8-1. It'd be tough to not feel like it.
It's one of their worst starts of the drought.
It's game 13, man. Like, come on. Like, can I just be a little? Give me a little intrigue.
Well, I have to pull it up. I looked over the weekend and the numbers weren't out, and I'm not sure I can trust the goals save above expected for Lukanen in the game against the Islanders. That was the Red Wings. Which one's the one where Tuck made a Hasek save?
Oh, that was the Red Wing.
Okay,
game. Yeah,
yeah. Like
he made three saves.
He did,
including
and Owen Power made a couple saves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like expected goals versus goals that are going in.
Yeah,
the expected goals against. Yeah, I mean, they don't have that at natural stat trick for the Islander game. I need a goalie. I need saves. They need saves. We're at another this endless cycle. They need saves. Anyway,
they are 4-7-1, so it's their worst start through 12 games since 17-18 when they started 3-7-2. Last year they were 6-6. Year before that they were 7-5. 19-20 they were 9-2-1 out of the gates. A lot of these records just look the same though. 6-4-2, 5-5-2, 5-7, just 4-6-2.
Yep. Maybe Gruden tonight on the Manning cast. Listen to Chopin Bulldog all week for your chance to win two tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco on Saturday, November 16th, courtesy of Live Nation. You can get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com, but they'll be giving away two tickets. So listen for a chance to win all week for Sebastian Maniscalco. We're back tomorrow. Lindy Ruff, Chris Trapasso, NFL trade deadline day tomorrow. See you then.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.